Hi, this is David Sweet, founder of Focus Core, and I'd like to invite you to take a look at our 2024 salary guide. It's a great resource for hiring APAC professionals wanting to know about the salaries for executive positions within Japan, as well as finding out information of what's important to attract the best talent in Japan. The salary guide is found on our website under About Salary Guide 2024. I hope you find this information useful for you and your company. Now, on to our podcast.
I'd like to invite Stella McCartney. So Stella McCartney is a luxury brand designer, and she's a pioneer for creating sustainable clothing. So I'd really like to learn more about how she sees environmental sustainability fitting into this fashion and luxury world, and you know what we as individuals could do, even as consumers could do, when it comes to environmental sustainability to help protect the world. Even though we want to be greedy and buy lots of beautiful things, I think we still need to be aware of how it's impacting the planet.
In this episode of the Focus Core podcast, we again take a look at our archives and bring a pre-recorded podcast over to share with you. This time with the talented Naomi Takase, who is one of those rare and wonderful people in the world that makes this planet a much more rich place to live. I'm so pleased to have known Naomi over these last 18 years. She was born and raised in New Zealand and is a Kiwi at heart, making Japan her home. She's been recruiting for over 18 years, agency side and corporate talent acquisition functions. She's currently at LVMH Japan, and she's the go-to person for all things recruitment in 17 different companies. So we'll talk about what happens when I call you and change your life. We'll talk about talent acquisition in this biggest luxury company in the world. We'll talk about working with 17 different companies at once, how to brand your recruitment, and who to market to. It's not the answer that you think it is. We talk about being a brand ambassador. We question the need for resumes in interviews, and we'll talk a little bit about how you can get into LVMH. We speak a little bit about Jim Collins' wonderful book, Good to Great, and Naomi will share with us why it's so important to her to top up your tea, and Naomi will talk to us a little bit more about why she would have lunch with Stella McCartney. So strap on your headphones, turn up the volume, and tune in to this podcast with the wonderful Naomi Takase. Good morning, Naomi. It's a delight to have you. We've known each other for ages, almost 2 decades.
Too long.
And you are a force to be reckoned with in the recruitment industry. Tell us a little bit about your history coming from Auckland in New Zealand and how you got to where you're at LVMH.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me, David. It's nice to be able to be here talking to you about this sort of, I don't know how long, 15, 20 years later since meeting. So for those of you who don't know me, I was born and brought up in New Zealand, and I've been in Japan now for 17 years. And the main reason why I was able to come to Japan in the first place was because David Sweet gave me a call when I was living in Auckland and asked me to come up to Japan for an interview. So that was my first introduction to Japan. I joined Wall Street Associates, and I worked in Wall Street Associates, which became InWorld, for 12 years before moving into the luxury industry. So I'm the Talent Acquisition Director at LVMH Japan. LVMH is a luxury group company. It's actually it's the biggest luxury group in the world. And talent acquisition is a new position within the group. We've had this position since I joined, which was about nearly 3 years ago. And they decided that they wanted to put a talent acquisition specialist into each region. It was quite new for the group because until now, the recruiting has been based or held within each maison. So just to give you a little bit of background maybe about LVMH, LVMH has 75 brands. And each brand is kind of like a standalone company. So we call it a decentralized model. So each company has their own HR function. And each HR function looks after their own recruiting. So as a group, it's a new function to be able to have a talent acquisition role, just maybe giving advice or being a center of expertise for recruiting topics.
Wow. So it's a mammoth responsibility having 75 brands then coming to report to you to ask for help or guidance or insight?
Well, in Japan, actually, we only have about, you know, maybe about 30 of them. But we have 17 KKs, so 17 corporate entities, and they have their own HR departments. Yeah.
Wow.
But they look after their own recruitment. So it's not as though I'm looking after all their hiring. I look after, for example, a lot of my job is related to corporate, maybe like employer branding or employer reputation project,
yeah,
to help attract talent. Or also I look after pipelining for more of the senior to executive level candidates for sort of future succession plans.
Nice. So with let's stay on that for a minute. So when you're doing advice for managers to attract talent, mm-hmm. Tell us more about that.
Hmm. So, for example, within an HR role, recruitment is often sort of just one part of their job. You know, yep. HR generalists, they've got so many important responsibilities to look after. And, of course, recruitment is very important, but it's one of the important tasks within their yep. HR role. So for the way I can help is I can help give them advice about the market, or I can give them sort of new trends or tools, or I can simply tell them that, you know, I've noticed something that's online or that a competitor is doing that maybe they could look into, or maybe they could, you know, improve in their own maison to try to attract more candidates.
With the branding, what do you do? What do you suggest for companies to help branding their recruitment?
Mm.
I think that's so important, right? It's an easy one to miss.
Yeah. Well, so employer branding and employer reputation has been, it's new for me. So I've only started this type of recruitment activity since I joined LVMH. And what I've found is that the more you spend on helping to promote what you do internally to the external market, the more it helps attract candidates, which means that the better you make your internal culture or the more time you spend with your internal employees, the better the employer branding becomes.
Mm.
It's kind of a chicken and egg situation because I can't just go out and say, oh, you know, our company is wonderful because we do this or this, without having the actual context or the, you know, examples of what we have done inside.
Can you share an example of what you've done?
Yeah. For example, so our company has 75% of our employees are women. And we would like to think that we are a great company for women empowerment and leadership training and things like this for, you know, for supporting the women employees. And we have amazing things that we do inside. For example, we have International Women's Day, or we have employer benefits that support childcare and elderly care, and great internship and mentor programs, and just amazing things. But we've never discussed them externally. We've never shared the fact that we've done these things with the external market. So we've been doing them just for the purpose of growing our business and growing our talent. But now, with this employer branding position, I'm able to share the fact that we have these benefits, or that we have been doing these events. And by doing that, I think the external market are starting to become aware that LVMH in Japan spends a lot of time in developing their women talent.
Yeah. You do an excellent job on that. I see you guys on social media a lot.
Mm.
If you were an SME starting up and you have some recruitment, but you're not sure how to do branding and limited resources, you kind of have your manager and you have, two people in HR, what would you suggest for them to do?
I think even with limited resources, if you have a LinkedIn account, you're able to post a LinkedIn post. So you don't have to spend that much money on that. And then there are other ways that you can do it. For example, for LVMH, we're pretty strict about how and when and what tools we use to post social media. So a lot of the information has to go through Paris. So for me, I would have to create the content in Japan and then get it validated by Paris to be posted to the LVMH brand. So there are a few things that the companies may have to get their headquarters to approve. Mm. But there's definitely things that you can do at a local level without spending too much money. But not just LinkedIn, but for example, you can definitely get your own employees to be brand ambassadors and help post things on their social media about the events that they've done.
Yeah, that's one of my big things for SMEs I work with. I just think it's so easy to do some employee branding, whether if you have a job, just post it on LinkedIn. You don't even have to buy a LinkedIn spot. You can just say, hey, we're recruiting. So it's just those little things I try to coach our clients on. Tell us about interview processes that you work with, or that you think are killer interview processes.
So my interview processes are maybe a little bit different to what the other HR managers do, but my personal interview process is that I don't like to take a resume into an interview. So I like to be paperless. I like to have looked at the resume before meeting the person, and then enabling the candidate to just tell me about themselves and tell me what they'd like to do in the future, rather than just go through all the reasons for leaving. So that's my style. For LVMH as a group, I would assume that the actual interview process is pretty common to most companies. Maybe we would have 3 or 4 interviews. The first interview would usually be the HR, and then it would go through to the hiring manager, end with the president of the company, depending on the position. So I think the process would probably be pretty standard.
Okay. You have a killer interview question?
I don't know if it's killer, but I like to understand what the person's, core belief or something that they really want to keep as an important part of their job. Not so much like what kind of job function they want to do, but within that job function, what's important to them? For example, if there's somebody who's applying to a management position, and within the management role, I'd like to know whether they find that the people management aspect is most important for them, or whether the P&L management or the decision-making power is the most important for them, or whether they are looking for a role that looks after more regions or the job scope. So depending on what that person's driven by, it makes me... It helps me match the roles or the brands that are available within the group.
Yeah, motivations are so important, right?
Mm.
You're looking at people. What Do you have a worst or best interview story?
Well, I don't have that too many worst interview stories, but one thing that is kind of my pet peeve is when candidates undersell themselves. Especially the ladies who have taken time off recently to have children. I think those types of interviews where the candidates come to me and say, "Oh, I haven't really been doing anything for the last 3 years," kind of makes me sort of shiver even thinking about it now. I can't imagine somebody thinking that raising a child for 3 years wasn't doing anything or hadn't been adding any value or hadn't been a learning experience. And then they go on to say things like, "Oh, I don't mind taking a job, like a pay cut, because I've taken this time off. Or I don't mind taking a role that's more junior than I used to be." Or they'll say things like, "I can work until 6 p.m., but I have to pick up my child at 6:30, so I can't do any overtime. But I can work from 8 p.m. till midnight, so don't worry about it." You know, and these types of interviews make me really sad, because I just think that somehow, somewhere along the line, they've come to assume that companies aren't amazing enough to be able to accept, you know, different types of candidates. And I think that makes me sad.
You're spot on. Have you seen that YouTube video going around where they're interviewing candidates on Zoom, and they're interviewing, you know, people for this job, and basically it's 24 hours. You don't get to sit down. There's no holidays. And by the way, you don't get paid. And then at the end of it, it's your mom, right? So the punchline is it was for Mother's Day. It was very, very well done.
No, I hadn't seen it.
And it just goes to what you say. I mean, wow, what a project management role that they have, right?
Yeah.
Talk about recruiters. What do you find effective for using executive search?
In terms of executive search, I think that they are one of our biggest business partners. So we wouldn't be where we are today without the executive search recruiters. I think that they have the knowledge and the market experience and the network that, you know, even internal recruiters, like I have a big network, but this, I can't know everybody. And I think that it's great when an executive search recruiter can introduce people that we really just have never considered or would never have been able to reach. For me in particular, I love to be able to get candidates who are maybe Japanese, have the Japanese language skills, or who have been brought up in Japan, who are now living overseas and have that international experience and would like to come back to Japan. So those types of candidates are very, very tricky for me to connect to. That executive search recruiters who have that international market approach add a lot of value to my business.
That's great. Thank you. What would you tell people that are wanting to get into LVMH or for their job search in general to be effective? What advice would you give them?
So I think that they need to build a strategy. I think a lot of candidates don't really have a strategy when they're starting a job search. Maybe they think that they can do a little bit of window shopping first and they'll just see what happens. But by the time they're invited to an interview, I don't feel that they're passionate enough or that they know that company enough to convince the hiring managers that they're the one. Mm-hmm. So I think they need to do a little bit, have a clearer strategy about why they're going to apply for this company. And if they get an interview at that company, what would it be about that company that they are, you know, attracted to? And what kind of key skills do they want to gain in the next move? And how would that lead to their, you know, 10-year business plan or career plan. So I think if they can just spend a little bit of time to sit down and create a strategy before applying to the 20 companies that they'd like to, you know, try out for, I think they might be more successful.
Yeah. When I do executive coaching with these candidates, and I lead them through a step process, first finding out, okay, what's the long-term plan? A lot of people just haven't sat down and chatted with someone about it, or haven't thought about it. And they don't do it with their significant other or friend, and they just don't think about what's the next move and really what is it that they want from the next position and the position after that, and where they want their career to go, and just to think about it a little bit. So, yeah, I think you're spot on with that. Mm-hmm. With give us an omiyage as we finish up. What would be your one recruitment hack for SMEs? What would you say?
Ooh, a recruitment hack. Oh, to know your own business, or to know your own business's strength, I think would be a recruitment hack, because the more you know about what's amazing about your company and what your sales pitch is, I think, and the more genuine it is, I think it would help attract candidates.
That's great. Very good advice. Yeah, I think upselling is a big one. Just selling the company a little bit, right? And knowing the benefit of working. Sometimes we get into a company and we've been there so long, we forget what's special about the company or the positions. It's easy.
Yeah.
Right? So I got three questions I ask everybody. So these are our barefoot lunch questions, all right? So what one book do you recommend that everyone should read?
So I like to go back to the really good old days where everybody in our recruitment firm had to read Good to Great.
I love it.
Is it Jim Collins or something?
Yeah.
I like to go back to the basics when it comes to recruitment, because I think that especially the hedgehog concept, it's never left me, and it helps me in every part of my life, not just recruitment, but even in a personal situation, or, you know, just when you're making a big decision, you have to keep coming back to that core concept and making sure that it's still in line with that core value that you want to hold. So
well, we had to do that back in the day, right?
It was compulsory, right? It was compulsory reading. I think we had to read it to pass probation.
That stayed with us for a long time, I think. Formed a lot of people in our industry. That's great. And then second question, what is your favorite lunch?
I think, I don't know if it's necessarily the food part, but I think I like to go to a restaurant where they will top up your tea more than once.
And where do they do that?
You know, at some cafe, at some like hotel place. Yeah. Like I go to the Grand Arc Hotel because they just keep coming around with that pot of tea and topping it up. And if you're having a candidate interview and you need to quickly eat your lunch, then at least you'd like to have hot tea coming along now and then to keep the, you know, to keep the conversation going.
Nice. Good recommendation. And final question, if you could invite anyone to lunch, living or dead, who would you invite?
I'd like to invite Stella McCartney. So McCartney is a luxury brand designer, and she's a pioneer for creating sustainable clothing. So I'd really like to learn more about how she sees environmental sustainability fitting into this fashion and luxury world, and, you know, what we as individuals could do, even as consumers could do, when it comes to environmental sustainability, to help, you know, protect the world. Even though we want to be greedy and buy lots of beautiful things, I think we still need to be aware of how it's impacting, you know, the planet.
That's great. Thank you. Wonderful to have you.
It was fun.